Welcome to the IC Maidan podcast. We are so glad that you've chosen to listen online. If you would like to know more about who we are, why we exist, our service times and location, or how you can get involved, then check out our website at icmaidan.com. We hope you enjoy the message today.
Good morning, IC Maidan. Man, this is so exciting to be here with you again. There is such a spirit of excellence in this place, such an atmosphere of worship, and such a servant's heart, and then just a passion for Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, I could not wait to be here with you. But it also tells me that you've got great leaders in Pastor Chris and Pastor Kerry and all your staff here. Can we give all the staff a great big hand? Can we do that? Yeah. Oh, I've just been super excited about being here and looking forward to it. And also because I'm excited about what I'm going to be talking to you about over the next 3 weeks. And I'm going to be talking about Let's Fake Love. It's about relationships. And it doesn't matter if you're single or married or single again or dating or single again. I'm just going to teach principles from God's Word that will really help you in every relationship of your life. And so I just want to challenge you to be here every week as we talk about real relationships, not faking love, but finding real love. And since I'm talking about relationships, I should tell you a little bit about myself. I'm 58 years old. And I've been preaching for 41 years. I pastored for 35 years. The last church I pastored, well, I pastored for 29 years. And then I stepped away and turned it over to my son and daughter-in-law, who's now pastoring that church, so I could travel and be here with you and other places all over the world. So, and I'm enjoying it so very much. And I've been married for 36 years to the same woman. Come on, somebody. Matter of fact, I have some pictures of my wife, Laura. And can we put one of those pictures up? This is me and my wife. Yes. Ooh. I know what you mean by that. Yeah. Yeah. You're wondering, how did he get her? Yeah. Shame on you. No, I'm just kidding. Put up another picture if you can. This is another picture of us at New Year's. Man, she is smoking hot. Yes, she is. Come on. Put up another picture if you will. Yes. This is Valentine's Day. Yeah. She's my Valentine. And then the next picture. This was just a week ago before I left, coming here on the night before I left. I got one more picture of that night. Show that picture. Yes. She is so beautiful. Matter of fact, just seeing those pictures, I want to call her on the phone. No, I mean, 36 years. We just celebrated our 36th anniversary. And so I asked her that day, I said, babe, does it feel like 36 years? She said, no, babe. Feels like 36 minutes. Whoa, come on. I must be doing something right. Come on. I said, really, babe, just 36 minutes? She said, yeah, babe, 30. I said, oh, come on, babe. 36 months, 36 days, but 36 minutes? She said, yeah, babe. She says, it just seems like 36 minutes underwater. Babe. I mean, life is made up of relationships, and we've all got some relationships like that. I mean, our whole life is filled with relationships. Our family relationships, our work relationships, our friendships, even our church relationships. Now I was just kidding. My wife really didn't say that, but at least I'm not going to tell you if she did. But relationships fuel our life, either for good or for bad. In fact, the greatest moments of your life is about relationships in your life. And the worst moments of your life are about relationships. Relationships can give you power, or relationships can fill your life with pain. Relationships can make you feel accepted or rejected. In fact, the most secure moments of your life can be in great, healthy relationships. Or in a moment, those relationships can make you feel unsafe and insecure and even scared. That's the power of relationships. In your life right now, relationships are either giving you life or they're sucking the life out of you. Either they're encouraging you and fulfilling you, or relationships in your life are draining you and depleting you. And how do we know how to build relationships? How do we know what real love is? The reason I entitled this series, Let's Fake Love, is because so many of us don't know where to look for love. We look to movies, our music, our media, and we see this euphoric obsession, this rush of emotions, and oh, I held her hand and my liver began to quiver, and I saw him walking in the mall, and I felt this ocean of emotion. Like there's no control, this uncontrollable feeling that you fall into and you can fall out of. It's not real. It's fake. It's a show. In fact, every one of the pictures I showed you were for Facebook and Instagram. And we took a picture and deleted it, and took a picture and deleted it, until we got the hair just right, and the smile just right, and the tilt of the head just right. It wasn't real. And if you are looking for that kind of love, it's fake, and it will leave you empty and depleted. It will destroy your relationships. It will cause you to become selfish and try to control people and circumstances and relationships because you're trying to get that emotion out of love. That's really not what relationships are about at all. How can we know what real love is, and how can we build real healthy whole relationships? Well, we have to look to God, because God created us. And God created relationships. And God created love. And if we look to Him, we can find out that God created us for relationships. He created us to experience love. And He has a plan for us to have healthy relationships that give us life rather than suck the life out of us. And even more than that, that we can give life to other people and not always be sucking life out of people. You may be saying, well, what can a white boy from Alabama teach us about love? Well, to be honest with you, everything I know about love and relationships, I got from God. And when you talk about relationships, we go to God's Word, and this morning I want to share a portion of Scripture from a married couple. Now you say, well, I'm not married, so this doesn't. But let me help you understand why we take the foundation of all relationships from marriage. Because the very first relationship on this planet between two human beings was husband and wife. It was Adam and Eve. The very first friendship was between a man and his wife. The very first working partnership was between a man and his wife. So the very foundation of all relationships flow from that very first relationship. And to be honest with you, the scripture I'm going to share with you was God talking to an Asian couple at an Asian church. in the Bible, in the New Testament, the second half of the Bible, the book of Ephesians was God's word to the church at Ephesus, which was in Asia. And here's what God said to a man and his wife about what real relationship is all about. It's found in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 33. And this is what the Bible says. God said, "So again I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." Now notice when we talk about real love here, it's not just one-sided, but that God said there's really two principles that are the very foundation for relationship: love and respect. Now that word respect, let me put it in perspective. It means to value or honor someone. So God says really love doesn't stand alone, but the very foundation of love and relationship is love and honor. Love and honor. And if fake love is taking and controlling and looking for something that's not real and keeps leaving us depleted and alone, starting over and over and over. Yet God says real love is something he commands us to do, not to get, but to give to other people. In other words, God is saying, here is something you can be. Here is something you can do. This fake love that you look for that has no control, it's not real. But the love I have for you is something that you can control. It's something that you can give away. It's something that you can become in your life. And instead of sucking the life out of relationships, you can give life to relationships. In other words, God wants every one of us to choose to be life-giving. In fact, even in an atmosphere like this, we here at IC Maidan, we are a family. That's why we say, welcome home. And this family is a life-giving family. They've learned these principles. And really, these same two principles are found again in the book of Romans in the New Testament, where God is speaking to a church just like IC Maidan. And this is what he says in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 10. Be devoted to one another. Be devoted to one another and honor one another above yourselves. Do you see here God is saying, here's what I want you to give. Here's what I want you to do. You can't control what other people do. And you're never going to find this uncontrollable, obsessive ocean of emotion, quiver of the liver. But let me tell you what real love is. You can experience real love in giving love and in honoring, respecting, and valuing other people. In fact, God says, I want you to be a life giver. And I want to challenge everyone in this room today that we make the choice right now that we are going to be life-giving people. That we are going to give the love of God and we're going to give the life of God. And that we're not going to just come together and experience this life-giving love of God. And isn't it wonderful here at IC Maidan? Many of you keep coming back because no matter how much life is sucked out of you on your job or even in your friendships, you have found a place. It's like a breath of fresh air. Amen. Can we all just do it? Take a deep breath together. That's what IC Maidan is like. And when you leave here, you can breathe that life on your job, in your home, in your family. In fact, when you leave here today, when you go home, when you go to work tomorrow, when people see you coming, when you give of who you are, what do people get? Do they get life or are you sucking the life out of them? Because these two principles of love and honor are the way that we can breathe life into people. When people see you in the mall and they see you coming, what are they expecting to get from you? Anger? Negativity? sarcasm are joy and encouragement and hope and life. I mean, when they see you coming, do they duck in a store? Or do they want to interact with you because your interactions are giving life? So I want to share with you how we can all become life-giving people from these two principles. And the first one is, I can be life-giving in the love I show. I can be life-giving in the love I show. Since love is not an emotion, if God commands it, then it's something that we can do. And we find the definition of God's love in God's word. God gives us what love is. And it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In fact, many people call this the love chapter of the Bible. And I want to read just two verses. And this is what it says in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Now, just, I'm away from home, so here's the way we say it in my country. Rude. Come on, make me feel at home. Do it with me one time. Rude. Love's not rude. Love doesn't make jokes at other people's expense. Love is patient and love is kind. What do people get when they get you? What do your kids get? What does your spouse get? Do they get patience? Do they get kindness? Because that's what God wants us to give, is patience and kindness. It goes on and it says this, it does not demand its own way. Love is not about getting, love is about giving. Love is not about looking for someone to serve me. Love is about me serving someone else. You felt it when you walked in this place this morning. You feel that love. You found a place where people serve you, where they're giving to you. In fact, there's over 120 people on the dream team here at IC Maidan that show up every Sunday to do one thing, to serve people and to love people. Many of them, they don't even know. What a good place for you to learn how to love people right here in this family. You may not have experienced this kind of love in your family, but you can experience here and you can learn how to be patient and to be kind. That's why we have a dream team here, and you need to be on the dream team where you can learn. If you can learn it here, you can learn to be patient on your job and to be kind with your friends. And then it says that love doesn't keep a record of wrong. In other words, you don't keep a scorebook. You go on your job tomorrow just waiting for somebody to do something and say something so you can remind them of the last time they did that. That's not love. Love doesn't go home waiting for your child or your spouse or your parent to make a mistake and say, yeah, that's what you did the last time. No. Love tears the record book up. And love says, I'm not going to remind you of your faults and your failures. Love is unconditional. Love is not based on what somebody else does. Love is based upon the command that God gives me. I can't control what you do, but I can control what I do. And God said, real love is something you give away. Love based on God's love for us. Love is not love until you express it, until you demonstrate it. Love is not love just because you say, I love you. I love you. I love these shoes. I love the mall. I love Starbucks. I love Cafe IC Maidan. That's not love. Love is a deliberate decision to overlook the faults and the failures of others. It's the kind of love that God gave to us. And God expressed it. Here's what he tells us in the Bible. In the book of Romans again, chapter 5 and verse number 8. Here's what God said. But God showed his great love. He demonstrated it. He expressed it. He acted on his love. He didn't just tell us he loved us. How did he demonstrate it? By sending Christ to die for us while we were sinners. When we didn't deserve it. When we had done nothing to earn it. And we can't do anything to earn it. God expressed an unconditional love by sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sin. God said, this is how I love you. And that's how he wants us to love other people. Most people have never experienced unconditional love. A love that says, I see the worst in you, but I believe the best in you. I know you've made mistakes, but I love you anyway. I told this to my children when they were growing up. I tell it now to my grandsons. I hold their face, and I would look at them, and I would say, I want you to know I love you, and there is nothing you will ever do to make me stop loving you. That's what God said to us in sending his son, Jesus Christ. God will never love you more than he loves you right now, and he will never love you less than he loves you right now. That's unconditional love. That's God's choice. That is something I can choose to do. I can choose to be. I first experienced this kind of love when I was 17 years old. When I was 17 years old, I had these affections for this young girl. And I wanted her to have affections for me. So I come up with this idea. I told her I was adopted. I'm not adopted. It was a lie. It was stupid. I don't even know why I did it. But I told her I was adopted. And I didn't tell her any different. And a few weeks later, one morning at the church my family attended, I saw this girl talking to my mother. At that moment, I knew I was caught. Such shame. I felt so embarrassed. I felt so guilty for what I had done. So overwhelmed by it, I went and got in my car, drove to my home, packed my clothes, and left before my parents came home. I rented an apartment. And I refused every attempt of my mother and father to try to reach out to me. I was so ashamed. I was so embarrassed. It was so stupid. One night I was going into work after several months. And outside my job was my brother. He's about 3 years older than me. And we hugged and he said, Frankie, I want you to meet me in the morning for breakfast at McDonald's. I said, okay, I'll meet you in the morning for breakfast at McDonald's. The next morning, I went to McDonald's. It was full. So I was looking for my brother. And all of a sudden, I turned to my right, and there was my father. He had tears running down his face and a big smile. And he walked right up to me and grabbed me and kissed me right on the cheek. And he said, son, your mother and I love you. We forgive you. We want you to come home. I fell into my father's arms. Yes, I was crying. That day, our relationship was mended. Several weeks later, I moved back home. Now, that's not the most surprising part of this story. The next 20 years of my life, my dad lived 20 more years. In fact, the last 5 years of my father's life, we worked together. And over those 20 years, my father never mentioned that dumb lie I told. He never brought it up to me again, that foolish mistake I had made. That is unconditional love. In fact, my dad has been dead for 21 years. But that one act of unconditional love 41 years ago has shaped everything I am and all that I do. It is the reason I am here today. Because he breathed life into me. What difference would that make on your job? What difference would that make with your friends? How would that change your family relationships if you decided to tear up the record and love people unconditionally? How do we do that? We do it because we've experienced that kind of love in our life. If you've never experienced God's love, then you can't understand it. You need a revelation that God loves you so unconditionally that he sent his own son to die for you. He doesn't look at your past. He looks at your future. He breathes life into you so that he can breathe life through you to other people. In fact, the Bible says it like this. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, we love each other because he first loved us. Not only does God want us to love unconditionally, but he wants us to honor, value other people. Most people have never been valued in their life. Most people don't feel value. They don't feel honorable. In fact, most of us devalue ourselves. We put ourselves down. We believe the worst about ourselves. And yet, here's what God tells us. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, I want to read this last verse to you. This is what God says. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. And then listen what he says. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you look out for the interest of others. In other words, put other people first. In other words, this is something you can do. Because God did this, he put you first. Jesus put you first. Jesus died for you. God showed how valuable you are to him. In fact, I see Maidon does this. If this is your first time, before you ever got here, all week long, the staff, the dream team, they've been talking about you and planning for you to come. And they didn't even know you. It wasn't based upon who you are or what you've done. They planned the VIP table just for you. They planned a part in this service to welcome you and to tell you about the VIP gift that they have for you. They did that not even knowing you, to show you you are valuable. Because we understand. God wants us to honor and put other people above ourselves. To look out for the interest of others. Not to be selfish. Not to be me first, but to say you first. How would that change your coworkers on your job if you started saying, what can I do to help you? How can I serve you? What if you went to your boss tomorrow and you said, listen, is there anything I can do extra above my regular job that will help you do what you... Well, your boss would probably faint, but anyway. What difference would it make if you put that kind of value? What if you valued your family? What if you anticipated what they're going to need before they need it? And you decided, I'm going to do that for them. I'm going to show them they're valuable. I'm going to honor them. I'm going to respect them. And I know what you're thinking. Well, you don't know who the people I work with are. My family, you don't live in my house, Pastor. They don't deserve to be honored. Well, then you misunderstand honor. Honor has nothing to do with the conduct of others. It has to do with the fact that they were created in the image of God. Honoring people has nothing to do with their conduct, but with my character. This is what God has commanded me to do. This is something God said I can do to breathe life into people. I can honor them. I honor them not based on their conduct, but based on our Creator. In fact, even when their conduct is bad, it's a test of my character. Whether I'll honor them, even though they may not be acting the way they should. That's value. That's honor. What if we just started valuing and honoring people, even that we didn't know? This is something you can do because you've been chosen by God. You've been favored by God. You've been accepted by God. You've been valued by God. So God valued you so you could value other people. Just a couple of months ago, I was invited to Cameroon, Africa. And while I was there, I was going to be able to preach at the church where the prime minister, most of his cabinet, attended. I was there a couple of years ago, but I didn't speak, but I remember being there. And so as I was preparing to go, I began to ask God, how can I show these people I love them? I don't even know them. How can I show them I value them? How can I honor these people? And as I was praying, I remembered that when I had went 2 years ago, that all the preachers at the end of the service would go outside the front door and shake every person's hand as they came out of the church. Well, I thought about that. And then I remembered, as a young preacher, there was this man that I looked up to, I respected. He was older than I was, and he was a minister, and I wanted to be like him. And every time I knew where he was going to be, I would try to be there. And I would try to I just wanted him to shake my hand. I wanted him to value me and notice me. But every time I would get there and I would shake his hand, he wouldn't look at me. He would shake my hand looking over my head. And I knew what he was doing. He was looking for people more important in the room. And every time I left, I felt so devalued. You know what that feels like. We all know what it feels like to be devalued. And we know what it feels like to be valued. When someone values you, it lifts you, it energizes you. But when they devalue you, it depletes you. I remembered that. And so I decided, when I get to Cameroon and I preach at the Prime Minister's Church, and I walk outside, 2,000 people, and I shake every one of them's hand, I'm going to look at them right in the eye. But one thing I forgot. In their culture, in order to show respect for the pastor, they don't look you in the eye. They look down. So I'm standing there, 2,000 people, and I decided I'm going to hold their arm, I'm going to grab their hand, and I'm going to look at them. Except they were looking down. I would have to go down on my knees. 2,000 people. I had to keep doing that. Every one of them would smile. In fact, days later, they were still talking about the fact I had looked every one of them in the eye. That's what God has called you and I to do. That's what God did in sending Jesus as a human being, where he could show us he was willing to look us in the eye because he values us. Now, the truth is, if you've never experienced God's love, you'll not be able to give it. But today I want to give you an opportunity right now to experience the unconditional love of God. In fact, I'm going to ask everyone to bow your head and close your eyes. And I realize this morning that you may be thinking, boy, I've gotten it all wrong. Pastor, if I'd only known this before. Maybe you've broken a lot of relationships. Maybe you've been a life sucker. I want to tell you today that God's not looking at your past. He died for your past. And he rose again to give you power to live a different future. Today, he wants you to experience how much he values you and how much he loves you. You may have never had a relationship with God. Maybe you didn't know how much he loved you and valued you. And you say today, Pastor, I've got it all wrong, but I want to get it right. I want to experience the forgiveness of God. I want to experience Jesus' love in my life. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. In just a moment, I'm going to count to three. And when I count to three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. If today you say, God, I've been wrong. I've did it all wrong. God, I've never received this kind of love. I've lived such a shame-filled, embarrassed, guilt-ridden life. But today the Heavenly Father sent his Son so that he could wrap his arms around you and fill you with his love today. If you want to make that decision, if you're ready to say, God, I'm wrong, you're right. I want you to forgive me and fill my life with your love. I give you the rest of my life. Jesus, love through me. And show value through me. I want to be life-giving. If that's you, on three, I want you to raise your hand. Left to right, front to back in this building. One, two, three. Put your hand up. God bless you. 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 You can put your hand down. Now listen, I want to help you connect with God. And open your life to Jesus right now. I want to lead you in a prayer, and I'm going to ask you to repeat it after me. There's nothing magical about the prayer, but if in your heart you're trusting Jesus today, something supernatural is going to happen. The shame, the guilt, the embarrassment, it's going to go, and the love of God is going to fill your life. In fact, I want everyone in this room to help me. I want all the dream team. If you were here when I See Maidan began, I still want you to help me. I want you to repeat this prayer to help all of those who are praying right now. Let's say it. Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sin. I did it all wrong. Today I want to begin to live it right. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. I accept your love. Live through me. I give you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.